Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Busy week in music?
It is, and you know, something that really just came in overnight, but Billboard is celebrating the 60th anniversary this week of its Hot 100 chart, which is, of course, the definitive chart about what's a hit and what's not. So some interesting things came out of that. Number one hit of all time.
It's got to be a Beatles.
Hey Jude. Hit.
Nope. How about Come On Baby, Do the
Hokey. The twist.
Number one of all time.
Number one of all time.
All the singles that were ever released.
Well, this is they are doing this as a subjective. They put together a panel that included some people like Diane Warren, you know, big songwriter. Mark Ronson, from within the magazine. So the twist, based on a number of things, numbers of weeks on the chart. In the case of the twist, it had two separate runs at number one on the chart.
Really?
And then, just kind of an overall impact. So you had the twist, Chubby Checker at number one, Smooth, Santana, Rob Thomas, number two, Mack the Knife's number three, Bobby Darin, Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars,
really?
Number four, How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes, number five.
It seems like the list should be older than 60, but, that covers my whole life, so. It's never not been around since I've been around.
We didn't have a Hot 100 before then. We were busy doing other things.
Didn't they have, some kind of, in the 40s with the Sinatra?
They did. They had, but it wasn't Billboard. They had, I think Cashbox was around back then, Record World.
Okay.
Those were some of the trades.
So the Hot 100.
Did Variety keep track of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no.
Okay. No, that was just movies and.
Right.
Okay.
And Billboard was the one that came in and really had more of a scientific, the Cashbox and some of the other trade magazines at the time were really rife with corruption. And
so the Hot 100 was Billboard?
Billboard.
So is this where Casey grabbed his top 40 from every week?
Yes.
Okay.
And for some of the years, other years he used another survey. It depended on, because you had to pay for licensing, right?
Yeah.
For that information. In case you're interested, the top artists of all time, the top Hot 100 artists of all time were the Beatles were number one, then Madonna two, Elton John, Elvis Presley, Mariah Carey rounded out the top five.
We put out a list of 100. You're only using 40. What's the deal?
Well, you only had so much time
exactly.
to play them.
What, 10 songs an hour for 4 hours, top 40?
Well, yeah, that's what it would average out to, sure. Yes.
Sure.
And then he would make you wait. Coming up.
But when that started, the songs
one.
Were 2 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah, right. He had to fill with more information
exactly.
and long-distance dedications.
And Casey hated to talk so much.
Hey, I still like listening to those from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
They're still kind of fun because it kind of gives you the... I was driving in my car once listening to the radio and something was playing and my daughter was in the car and I said, this was top 40 once, like John Denver, Rocky Mountain High. I said, this was played on, your Kisses stations. This was what the kids were digging.
When did they diverge into a number of lists? I mean, they had the top 100.
I think when the magazine started, there were a number of lists already. They had different genres. They divided into different genres
yeah.
and things like that. Now they've divided and subdivided, and, of course, you have to have lists for streaming, for download.
Yeah,
if you don't have a list, forget it. Yeah, right. And then people get all worked up about them. Demi Lovato, what's the latest update on her?
We are here. I have not seen confirmation, but the word was she was going to be leaving the hospital soon. She's still recovering from her overdose last week. Still getting a lot of support. Dion, of all people, weighed in with just, words of encouragement and, getting better people around you and, how she needs to clean up as if she needed to be reminded of that. So we'll see.
She's going to rehab.
Well, that's obviously got to be part of it, some sort of treatment. Building a better and more secure network around yourself, kind of like they pulled Justin Bieber out of the abyss and Mariah Carey and Britney Spears. Sometimes you need others to step in and really do, really help.
There's a Woodstock 50th anniversary documentary coming to PBS. Now, here's the question. A documentary about Woodstock, wasn't it already a documentary to begin with?
Well, I don't know if we call that a doc. You know, it was an odd documentary. You know, it wasn't a historical document as much as it was just a chronicle of the performances with a little bit of behind the scenes footage. There was no, you know, in the famous Woodstock film, you know, there was no real narration. So I think what's going to be on PBS, and this will be next year because it's next year, that's the 50th anniversary. It'll be part of the American Experiences series. That'll be more narration. There'll be interviews with the producers, interviews with some of the artists. So it'll be more of a, you know, more of a straightforward documentary as opposed to what you saw in the movie.
Do we know who's going to narrate it? Like Bill Walton?
They haven't said that yet. But I'm sure they'll interview, you know, Michael Lang. John Roberts is still alive. He was one of the producers. There's certainly tons and tons of archival footage and archival interviews with artists and the principals behind the festival.
Now, I only know this because I watch American Choppers, because Paul Sr. built a bike for the Woodstock Museum this season.
Right.
There's a museum there.
There is a museum. There's also a performing arts center, the Bethel Performing Arts Center, which is on the site. I remember when they had the, I guess it would have been the 30th anniversary. Yeah, it would have been the 30th. Well, maybe it was the 40th. Anyway, one of those anniversaries, they had a gathering, you know, a concert back, a festival weekend back at the original site. And they were talking about building this performing arts center, and, you know, a lot of people were up in arms because this is hallowed ground. But really, if you're going to do something with that property, why not make it something for the performing arts?
When is the last time Max Yasger actually grew some crops on that acreage?
Well, not on that particular piece of the property, but the Yasger Dairies is still in existence.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, other people, you know, he had a huge tract of land up there, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I do think the dairy still operates in that vicinity, and the cows are neighbors
to
the Woodstock site.
Yeah.
All right, so
good to know.
So they're still working. What else is going on? Sammy Hagar leaked some new material this week.
Yeah, we got, you know.
You hear it?
Sammy apparently has created a concept album with his band, The Circle, and concept album. That's about the right reaction there. He's just now leaked a little bit of music online. I haven't heard it yet. Nobody really has, but we expect it out this fall. And, you know, like I said, supposedly all original material, and The Circle is Sammy, Jason Bonham, Michael Anthony, and Vic Johnson, Sammy's usual guitar player.
August 15th, Aerosmith says they have a big announcement.
They have a big announcement. We'll see what it is. You know, with a lot of people, they're going to be appearing on the Today Show concert series, and everybody thinks they're going to be announcing some sort of tour, whether it's a farewell tour or quasi-farewell tour. You know, they are also closing in on their 50th anniversary, which is 69 or 70, depending on how you count it. So they say they're going to announce something. And in the meantime, we'll get to see them play together.
Geddy Lee's going to release a book about bass and
bass, and
playing it? Like the Roy Clark? Remember the Roy Clark commercials where you put the dots on the neck of your guitar and you just...
No, it won't be an instructional book. What this is going to be his... It's called The Big Beautiful Book of Bass, and for it he interviewed a number of other great bass players, including John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin, Adam Clayton from U2, Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones. You know, it's an impressive list. And he really... It's supposed to be all things bass, about playing it, about the instruments themselves. He talks with, you know, Alex Lifeson, I guess, his bandmate from Rush, is going to be part of the book. A lot of pictures, a lot of great art, and that's going to be out this fall. 400 pages, so, and I suspect the format is coffee table, so it'll be kind of an art book you can put on there along with your, you know, Rush did a couple years ago release the Art of Rush book that has all their album covers and packages and things like that.
It's no more ridiculous than, who was it, Steve Howe, who put out the book of all the guitars he owned?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like, yep, that's a guitar. There's another one.
Musical instrument
horn. Yeah, it was. It was just had very little, just little captions about each one, right?
Right.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, but it was still, you could just sit there and dream and drool.
All right, finally, you're a Michigan guy.
I am.
You live in Michigan. You've been there for some time now. Are you interested in buying Kid Rock's childhood home?
I'm not, just because it's not where I would want to live. You know, it's about 40 miles north of downtown, and it's far further
downtown
Detroit, and further to the east than I would want to be.
What town is it in?
It's in it's part of Romeo. It's actually Bruce Township, Michigan, which is near Romeo, is the biggest town. It's not far from Mount Clemens. You know, but it is north and a little bit east of the city. 5,600 square foot house, 5.5 acre lot that they're only looking for about $600,000 for.
Wait a minute, sounds like he grew up in a pretty decent place.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, despite the song's claim that he's not fresh out of Compton, fresh out of the trailer.
Right.
No, and you know, and this is not a secret. You know, everybody knows his dad. His dad was a very wealthy car dealer. You know, in that part of town, and he built.
What was the dealership in Detroit?
He had a couple of different dealerships. So he was, you know, the dad was kind of a raconteur out there.
Was it Rock Chevy?
I think it was Chevy. I think he did mostly the GM brand.
Okay.
So it wasn't Rock. I mean, it's Richie. Yeah, there wasn't a Rock for many years. You know,
right.
Now he calls himself Daddy Rock. But it is, you know, the house has 22 rooms, 5-car garage. You know, so it is quite the estate. There's a tennis court, a horse barn with 3 stalls, an in-ground pool. You know, so there's it's quite a place.
And what's the asking price? Six what?
$600,000.
That's not bad.
That's